Little bit of a review. You heard last time we gathered the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm hardening you. Not hardening your heart, but hardening you in the truth. That you would be determined to do the good works for which you have been gifted. God is so good. The ultimate gift is Jesus. If you've received Christ, there's no better gift than that. You've been reconciled to God. You've been made one with God by His Spirit through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a big deal. Hallelujah. In Christ, you've defeated death itself. You've already overcome every disease and every servant of death by Christ Jesus, by being united with God. This is not a feeling, what I'm describing to you. It's called faith, something God creates in you. And that's where the message is going today. We're going to talk a little bit about faith and God hardening our faith. Another facet, you might say, of the diamond we heard last time we met, that His people are like diamonds in His land that emanate light. Diamonds are known to be very hard. And again, we heard last time we gathered, God would have us be determined in your purpose. I purposed you to fellowship with Me, says the Lord. Be determined to do that. And then out of your fellowship with God, you've been gifted with certain things that are designed to build up the body of Christ. And it's no mystery that spiritual forces of wickedness would want to come along and have you not walk out your purpose. The spiritual forces of wickedness do not want you building up the body of Christ by deploying your gifts. And we just heard an encouragement last time we gathered. You know, be hard in your own lane, you might say. Maybe this person has the gift of healing, and this person has the gift of governments, and this person has the gift of this, and that person has the gift of that. And look, even creating artwork, you see that all through the Old Testament. I believe anything that we have that can be used to build up the body of Christ is a gift from God.
Amen.
And if one person has the gift of healing and the other person has the gift of painting, they ought not try to swap lanes. You be determined in your lane. Let the painter paint. Let the governor govern. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Let the giver give. We don't need to try to straighten each other out. You be straight in your lane, and that will help straighten out the others. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, just a tiny little review. Jesus said, troubles will come, but take heart, I've overcome them. And I'm trying to say that God can use the opposition we encounter, the adversity we encounter, to harden us in our purposes and why we're here. I want to be hard after Jesus. I'm determined. I'm going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not going back. Right? Okay. He's making diamonds out of us. And I'm here today to share with you another thing that God wants to harden is your faith. It's another facet of the diamond. Even when things look bleak, you can still trust God. Well, what am I trusting God for? It's an amazing thing. I want you to trust God for profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. God is working profit out of this adversity. Whatever the opposition is, God is looking to profit me. It says in Isaiah, He'll teach you how to profit. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, when all these things are going on, He expects you to trust in Him that He's bringing good profit out of it. Hallelujah. It's profit for His kingdom. It's profit for you. So even when things look bleak, we can be hard in the truth. God is working something good out of this for me because He loves me. It glorifies Him for me to flourish. Are you there? Are you hard in these truths? Or the first time that opposition comes, the first time that adversity comes, are you caving into, oh, I must have made God mad. Oh, God must not be pleased with me. Oh, God must have just struck me. No, be hard in the truth. While I was yet dead in my sins, before I ever qualified to be in God's approval, He paid the price for me to be lovely in His sight. Be hard in the truth. Steadfast, immovable in your faith. We see a little example of this in Jeremiah chapter 32. Now, Jeremiah chapter 31 shares the new covenant, describes what things will be like when God establishes His new covenant. He describes that in Jeremiah 31. And I like the end of Jeremiah 31 before we look into Jeremiah 32. I'm going to read verses 38 through 40 to you of Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when this city will be rebuilt for me from the Tower of Hinel to the corner gate. The measuring line will stretch from there straight to the hill of Gareb and then turn to Goa. Check it out. The whole valley where dead bodies and ashes are thrown. And all the terraces out to the Kidron Valley on the east, as far as the corner of the Horse Gate, will be holy to the Lord. This city will never again be uprooted or demolished. And I think I've shared this with you before. In fact, even today's message, I believe, is a reminder as God is building us up in faith. What I just described to you at the end of Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophet uses a very, very dramatic example, in a sense, to shock and awe the people. This Kidron Valley was their idea of what hell looked like. When he's talking to his audience, he says, even the Kidron Valley will be redeemed by this new covenant. And they, again, whenever they talked about the Kidron Valley, to them, that was an earthly picture of what hell looked like. A place where bodies were continually smolding and burning. A really nasty, nasty place. And here God says, when the new covenant is established, and I tell you it has been, Christ came, God redeemed the whole planet. Hallelujah. And when you believe that, you become a type of first fruits of all His creation. And I want you to take this into your own life. You know, what hellish thing are you dealing with? Do your arms hurt? What hellish thing are you dealing with? God says, this is your brokenness, your needs, your mess. It belongs to Me. It's been redeemed from the powers of darkness. Amen. And delivered into My presence for My attention. I own your mess. I'm in charge of it all. I'm rebuking the devourer and bringing good, bringing profit out of this mess, even the message of Christ your Redeemer. Will you trust Him for this? Listen, we heard in recent weeks, Daniel shut the mouths of the lions by faith, it says in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it says an angel came and shut the mouths of the lions. Daniel's trust in God shut the mouths of the lions. And was he not in a dangerous, hellish place? He was in a den filled with lions. How many of us have been in a den filled with lions recently? In the natural, none of us. In the spirit realm, maybe more than one of us. But don't be afraid. God has possessed that thing to profit you. When Daniel was raised out of that den of lions, the Bible says he prospered greatly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I imagine all creation celebrated the elevation, the promotion of God's child. So again, I tell you, no matter how bad you think something looks, no matter how stinky something seems to be, God says the whole thing has been cleaned. It says in Acts chapter 10, do not call unclean what God has called clean. And the Bible says, Jesus turned God's wrath away from you and me, taking away our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the whole world. The whole planet has been redeemed. You can look at a situation and say, that looks like hell to me. I don't want you to dwell on that. If you're going to say that, then you say, and it's a stepping stone for God to be glorified. No matter how bad it looks, God will be glorified all the more. Are you hearing me? This is super important. As the message unfolds, you'll hear how your faith makes a difference. You believing, it makes a difference. Okay? So I want us all, even as a church, to be hard, and the Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. Amen. He's made the whole enchilada clean. It's in your heart. And the issues of your life flow out of your heart. Heaven flows out of your heart. It's so exciting to me. And we ought to live our lives from that foundational place. I'm not saying there aren't hellish things out there. There are. But the whole thing has been redeemed. And should Jesus come in the next 10 minutes and say, that's enough, I can't take it anymore, that's the end of everything. I'm telling you right now, the church is accountable for all the messes out there. Jesus did not drop the ball. When people see a hellish circumstance and that's all they want to talk about, and they're excluding God and they're not magnifying the Lord, they're just magnifying hell. In the spirit realm, they're feeding the power of hell. We don't want to do that. So anyway, that's the end of chapter 31. And then chapter 32 goes along. I'm not going to, it's a very long chapter. Praise God, it's good. What's going on here in Jeremiah chapter 32 is, the city of God is under siege from the enemy. The enemy is building siege ramps and it's not looking good for the city of God at all. In fact, it's looking bleak. And the Spirit of the living God speaks to His child Jeremiah and says, hey, now's a good time to buy property. Why don't you go buy some property? Hey, have it witnessed too, because when this is all over, I want to make sure you profit through what looks bleak. Jeremiah 32. And God says, I'm the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for me. When things are looking bleak, God wants us to have faith in Him. You trust God. He's working something good out of this. Here in Jeremiah 32, the city of Jerusalem was besieged. But if you read the chapter, let's see, maybe I can... You know, God knew all along how things were going to turn out. And He was looking to profit His faithful child through the mess. And bring forth the message, God is in charge of everything. God has profited me, Jeremiah could say. And he was, sadly, Jeremiah was quite thoroughly rejected. He's known as the prophet of tears because he knew the word of the Lord and nobody else was interested. Nobody else cared. And it broke his heart along with the Lord's. So God's like, don't worry about it. Yeah, there are siege ramps, but nothing is too hard for me. Buy the land. He obeyed. He profited. And then moving into chapter 33, God talks about how things will turn out. And I really like the end of verse 11, Jeremiah 33, verse 11. This wasn't necessarily in my notes. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And I really enjoy this staying in the Bible, where God says, I will restore your fortunes. It's actually interpreted another way too. It depends on which version of the Bible you're reading. Another version says, I will bring you back from captivity. Almost everywhere you read in the Old Testament, God saying, I'll bring you back from captivity. You can look in the original text and it's the same meaning. I'm restoring you. You're so fortunate that you're not been taken captive by the devil to do his will. So what? You look at a hellish mountain. You're not intimidated by that. Don't be taken captive by that. Oh, I'm going to be crushed by the mountain. No, you trust God. The mountains melt like wax in His presence. Amen. God says, I will restore your fortunes as they were before. And again, the greatest fortune is being reconciled to God. Amen. This is the greatest fortune. I'm so fortunate. I'm so rich. I'm so wealthy to have been reconciled to God by Jesus' work on the cross. I want to talk about restoring my fortunes. I'm telling you, through Christ Jesus, you are reset in Eden. Amen. God's pleasure, God's delight. That's what Eden means. By Jesus' work, you've been restored. You know what about restoring your fortunes? Being fortunate. Have you imagined lately? Do you understand? Probably most of you do. You're walking with God.
Thank you, Lord.
You live in a sense Eden through Christ Jesus. You're living in God's delight. The Bible says it's impossible to please Him without faith. But with faith, He is well pleased. Amen. I will restore your fortunes. And there's all kinds of ways we can look at that. I'm saying He's taking us back to a pre-fall status through Christ Jesus. You're set in my pleasure through what Christ has done. Do you believe that? This is that hard faith that you have. I've been set in God's pleasure through what Christ has done for me. I want you to be hard in that faith. The enemy comes and says, well, if you do blank, then God will be pleased with you. If you do blank, then you'll get blessed. If you do this, then you'll be fit to minister to others. If only you would change this habit in your life. If only you'd believe differently. Then you can use the gifts God has given you. No, we've already been restored to Eden. We're already in God's pleasure. Only believe. And get busy with it. God's working with us. He confirms His Word with signs. Hallelujah. That follow. You've been reset in God's delight by what Jesus did. I like Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Because listen, the power of your move comes from understanding God's pleasure for you. That He created you for His pleasure. And as you get a hold of this and enjoy this and spend time meditating upon being pleasing to God, you are moved. You move in faith. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. As I'm talking about, you've been reset in God's delight by what Jesus has done. This version says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Look, it doesn't say God demonstrated His love for us. The cross of Christ is an everlasting expression. It's a living expression. The blood that was shed is alive. Hallelujah. And this version said God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were unqualified, while we were still sinners, while we didn't care about Him, that's when He paid the price. Our guilt was taken away and our sin was paid for. We can be excited about that. Another version says, this is interesting, God commends His love to you. And that word commends would be, another way to say that is recommend. God recommends His love to you. It was demonstrated at the cross. You can see God's love through this one verse. Believe. Hallelujah. Believe. This is very pleasing to God. Christ's work reconciled me to God. I've become one with God by God's Spirit through Jesus Christ. Okay, do you believe these statements? They're biblical. It's the truth. Amen. Be hard in the truth. Don't be moved. Be immovable in the truth. Your faith. Well, what is this faith? How do we get this faith? According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to break that down a little bit. This faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you hope for good things? Do you hope for progress here? Do you hope for healing there? Well, what is hope? Hope is expect something good. I mean, none of us are hoping for bad things, right? We're hoping for good things. I have an expectation for good things. Well, what is it based on? Faith is the substance. You hear that word substance? S-U-B. Faith is S-U-B. Faith is under something. Faith is the substance of it's the foundation of things hoped for. You have an expectation for good. Your expectation for good is supposed to be based on your faith. Your expectation for good is supposed to be resting upon the foundation of faith. Faith is the substance, the foundation, the thing under what you hope for. Don't hope for this. Don't hope for that unless you've heard from God and He's created the faith in you. Otherwise, what you have is presumption. You have good expectations. Let your good expectations rest upon your faith. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't have hope. You have presumption. You have a hope that's going to disappoint you and make you sick. If it's a hope that's not resting on faith. So your confident expectation of good, it rests upon or is based upon, you could say, what God said to me. You have a Bible, right? Everybody in here has a Bible. If you seek the truth, you will find the truth. Another way to say it is, if you seek the truth will be revealed to you. If you're seeking Jesus, He's going to show up. How do you seek God? You get up in His Word. I'm seeking You, Lord. When you say that, I'm seeking You, Lord, you're praying. You're having communion with God. I'm looking for You. Help me find You. Reveal Yourself to me. And as you do that, He's going to speak good things to you. He just created faith in you when you heard Him. He created faith in you. Now you have hope. Now you can expect good. And your hope is set upon the rock, what God said. Your hope is not going to collapse. It's not going to disappoint. Oh, it might be refined.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5. Yeah. It's good for you to have your hope refined. But let your hope rest upon what God has said to you. Yes, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ. And it's a specific definition, it's a specific meaning of word. Faith comes by the rhema of Christ. This is the spoken Word. It comes by the Spirit. This is God taking a verse and making it alive. That's rhema. Taking a verse, the verses, all the verses put together in the original text is called logos. And this word logos, translated into English, is word. Faith comes by the Word of Christ, not logos. Faith is something Jesus creates when He speaks to you and opens your ears to hear by the Spirit what God has said. He'll take one verse or one principle out of that whole Bible and breathe upon it for you. Faith is created in you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the rhema of Christ. What is Christ saying now to you? This is how faith is created. Also says in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus creates our faith. And it says in that same passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, He not only creates our faith, He's the author of it. He's the finisher or perfecter of our faith. And you can take that as He's the one. He'll speak a thing to you. I'm going to lay that mountain low. You're like, I believe You, Lord. Do you then go get a shovel and start shoveling the mountain out of the way? No, He's going to lay the mountain low. He gives you the faith. He sustains that faith because you're like 3 weeks later, why is that mountain still there when You said it wouldn't be, Lord? And He'll speak to you, I've not changed my mind. I haven't changed. I still love You. Now He's sustaining your faith, the same faith He created before. And He perfects it. He brings it to fruition. He makes the faith produce something tangible. Now check this out. Faith is also the evidence of what is not seen. So we heard that faith is created by God. We seek Him. He creates faith in us so that no one can boast. It's a gift of God, an act of His grace to you and me. He sustains our faith. And we hear also that faith is the evidence of what is not seen. Well, how do you know you're going to be okay? Your faith is the proof.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Faith is the evidence of what isn't seen. How do you know you're going to have progress? How do you know you're going to be okay? How do you know you're going to prosper? I have faith. That's the evidence. That's the proof.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, what is your faith? Something Jesus said to me. Be hard in that faith. Be hard in what Jesus said to you. Do not let in contrary notions or ideas in your heart. Guard your heart and mind through trusting in Jesus. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, how important that is. Your faith is the evidence of what isn't seen. God's going to restore me here. How do you know that? My faith informs me. My hope, my expectation rests upon what God said to me.
Amen.
And sometimes the only proof you have is your faith. And that's okay. For when you are weak, then you are strong in the truth. Then the power of Christ is resting on you. It's so powerful, folks. Faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ, the Rhema of Christ, something that the living God is saying at this moment to you. That's called a Rhema. It's the Spirit of God bringing a verse, a scripture, a principle to life for you. It's a big, big deal. And if we all got a hold of what I'm saying right now just right, it makes everything else in life pale in comparison in value. Nothing else matters to me, Lord. Create faith in me. I'm rushing to you, Jesus. I want you to speak to me and create faith in me. This is so powerful. Amen. Susan and I were watching a show yesterday or the other day, and they explained how lightning works. And it reminds me of this teaching, and it's an amazing thing. Again, faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ. When God speaks, I'll share it this way. Let's take the lightning analogy. I always thought lightning came out of the sky down to the ground and struck. Well, we learned what happens is electrons are stirred up on Earth. Electrons are stirred up. Electrons are aggravated. It's kind of like our namesake, Bethesda. The water was calm and then it mystically became stirred up. And the miracle happened. John chapter 5. Check out how your faith works. The analogy with lightning. With lightning in the natural, and the Bible says all creation preaches Christ as Lord. So it's good to pay attention. Something happens in the earth. There's a stirring of electrons in the earth. This stirring becomes, in a sense, energized. It begins reaching up. The guy said it's like a wire, like an invisible wire goes from the earth up to a certain point in the clouds. And when they meet, boom, what's in the clouds comes down following that trail, following that invisible wire. Listen, folks, I had been seeking the Lord and He was creating faith in me. The God of glory thunders. He was creating the faith in me for weeks before I went to that speaking engagement. I was stirred up. I was agitated. I didn't want to go preach repentance, but I had to honor what God was saying to me. God created faith in me. And I said, the God of glory thunders right now. Don't you see? I had been agitated. I'm not the author of the lightning. I'm not the author of the good thing. Jesus created the faith in me to stand on stage. I was stirred up. I was agitated. I said, the God of glory thunders right now. And boom! Out of, quote, heaven, lightning came down. You want change? Be strong in your faith. Amen. Let God stir up your faith. Let God agitate stuff inside of you. We're even instructed, stir up the gifts that are within you. It's all about the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ. When you hear the Word of Christ, when you choose to yield to the Word of Christ, when you believe the Word of Christ, the heavens are opened. You're living under an open heaven. Holy angels are ascending and descending to bring about your inheritance, that you live in undisturbed rest, a secure home, having confidence in God with plenty of seed to sow. Hallelujah, that's the fruit of living under an open heaven. Praise God. Can this be applicable to you? Don't you want the power of God to fall upon you? The power of God to fall upon your life? Then go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Ask Him, create faith in me. Forgive my unbelief. Raise me from the dead. I feel like the Kidron Valley, Lord. I'm a smoldering, stinking mess. God says, don't say that. You've been cleansed by the blood. You are my possession.
Hallelujah.
I'm not finished with you yet.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. I would hope hearing this message about faith would, maybe you've prayed, oh God, I need you to draw me to you. Okay, He's answering today. We're all supposed to be powerhouses in the Lord, man.
Amen.
How's that going to happen? You go to Jesus.
Yeah.
How do you do that? The Bible. There's about 31,000 verses there.
Yeah.
Maybe 33, I forget exactly. There's plenty of material, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go seeking Him because you want to know Him. You go seeking Him saying, show me life. Show me the way. Let me know the truth. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So powerful. And this is what I was saying earlier in the message, how your faith makes such a big difference. Josh, I was so blessed by that, hearing about how lightning works. It's electrons in the earth stirred up. And as I started thinking about that, it wasn't only that one testimony. Many of the miracles that have taken place. I was stirred up when I preached here one Saturday night. Oh God, turn the hearts of our enemies. If their hearts won't turn, turn their ankles so we'll know who they are. Something stirred up in the earth by the Word of God. And the heavens opened and the power of God fell down. Somebody broke their ankle going from the pew to their car. There's been many, many miracles. You can get stirred up. You can seek God. It's your choice. Are you hungry for Him? Or are you being satisfied by other things? Even a lot of people are satisfied by hell. They're so focused on the hellish circumstances, they're feeding on it constantly, being led into greater and greater destruction. Oh, Jesus, save me, but I'm not going to take my attention off of hell. Listen, if you want to be saved from hell, you got to put your attention on what He did. The cross. You got to look up. Look away from the ugly. Don't look at Medusa. That'll harden your heart in a bad way. And it might cost you to become hard in the truth. You have to separate yourself from what you're focusing on. Continue going to God. Because He'll tell you that thing. It's like a seed. And as you continue to go to Him, He'll water the seed. He'll pull the weeds out of the way so the seed has room to grow. He'll give light to the seed. All the while your faith is growing, He's sustaining your faith, bringing it to fruition. So that impossible thing He told you comes to pass.
Amen.
Again, faith produces tangible results. But sometimes the only evidence that it's ever going to happen is what? Your faith. Your faith. Not the pastor's faith. Not the missionary's faith. Your faith. Listen, partnering together in faith definitely is a good thing. And there are some times when the Lord says, hey, look, this is getting out of balance. This servant over here of mine is working more than he ought to be while you're not carrying your own load. Of faith, I mean. Are you hearing me? Okay. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. I'm just saying in each of our lives, you want to have an authentic walk with God, He's got some stuff to develop in you. And if somebody else being strong in faith hinders your faith from growing, don't be surprised if He puts a little space between you. Not that He's going to withdraw the faith from that stronger person, but He wants you to develop your own.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah. Okay. Hard in your lane, baby. Hard in faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. You're stirred up. You know, you seek God in the morning. You're all stirred up. Your faith is built up. The day comes and goes and it seemed like nothing at all changed. That's not true that nothing at all changed. You changed. When you go to bed at night, revisit whatever built your faith up in the morning.
Right.
Keep that faith. Abide. Over time, you're becoming this energy. The electrons. I don't understand it all, but I can explain some stuff to you. Christ is preeminent over everything. He can do creative miracles within the body. Oh God, give me a new spleen. If He told me He would do that, I should believe Him. He can create and give me a brand new spleen. You know, that's just an example. I'm trying to say abide in faith. Because over time, it's in a sense, it's building up. I mean, how long does it take for a lightning bolt to develop and happen? You know, the energy begins stirring in the earth. The electrons are stirring and getting agitated. Then this invisible wire of energy of electrons begins reaching up and goes up and up and up. Does this whole procedure take 5 seconds or 10 minutes? I don't know. I'm not that much of a scientist. But we can compare it to your faith. The energy is being stirred up. The electrons are being stirred up. They're being put in order. You're reaching to God. You're believing. It's not a man effort thing. It's all grace. You're seeking God. I want to know the truth. God says, I want to change the earth. I'm turning the desolate, hellish places into Eden through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So my point is, abide in faith. If it takes 10 seconds or 5 minutes for a lightning bolt to develop and come to fruition, I don't know. Sometimes your faith can be instantaneous. God will speak a thing and as soon as He speaks it, it's done. Other times, like in the case where the lightning bolt fell when I said the God of glory thunders right now, I had been 3 weeks in the same word. 3 weeks, everywhere I turned, when I'm seeking God, I get the same word. I will judge the wicked. Those who mistreat my servants, I will judge them. You know, 3 weeks of, oh my gosh, this sounds scary. So by the time I took the stage, I was steeped in that truth. And I had to come in love, not to beat them down. Well, one famous minister said, I'd die 1,000 times before I take the microphone. I die to wanting this. I die to thinking that's right. I die to, you know, this way and it ought to be that way and all these other things. No, it's only the Word. Here's the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when that particular testimony happened, I'd only been on stage 2 or 3 minutes. I had just begun. I should have just dropped the mic and walked away. I didn't need to stand up there. It was a 75-minute message, you know. I didn't need to stand up there after the lightning bolt struck. God is real. Honor Him. Please leave it be. But I hope you can draw from this, folks. You can take this picture of how a lightning bolt is created. Take, you know, this picture and incorporate it into your life. Trust God. Believe God. Stir yourself up in the things that He said. The timing of the power falling and the manifestation, I do not know. I'm so encouraged and blessed by Elder Tom running for Senate, you know, and maybe he'll find himself in a senator's seat this year.
Amen.
Praise God. But what if he doesn't? And what if the Lord says, I didn't change my mind? What if Tom needs to run 3, 4, 5, 6? President Trump ran several times before he became president. He was shot down, he was beat down, he was mocked, he was laughed at. But eventually, I believe, the power of God fell upon him. He didn't have to spend as much as everybody else. He didn't have to do backflips like, just go be your broken self. Wow, what hardness. What determination. What perseverance. And God would have us, under Christ, be King of Influence. I'm the King of Influence. When I decree a thing, it does not fail to happen. In Jesus' name. Some might think that sounds religious or proud. No, I'm talking about living under the King of what?
Yeah.
King of kings. Not King of wimps. Not King of those who decree things and nothing happens. No, how does this work itself out? You've made the Word your King.
Amen.
Not the ugly mountain. Not the smoldering hell. The Word of God is my King.
Amen.
Now you become a king. You'll start talking and acting that way. He wants all of His children to be the King of Influence in the earth. We can talk to storms and they're calm. We can tell mountains to be removed. We can tell even dead people, raise up and be alive to glorify God. All through the Rhema, the Word of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You guys, you know, again, be thinking. We've already asked the Holy Spirit. Be thinking about, I got more passages to share. And it's okay for you to sit there and be excited. If you need to utter something, say it. You don't have to say it so loud people can't hear me preach now. But just say it because you're declaring the wisdom of God to the heavenly realms. King. Under Christ Jesus. You're declaring the wisdom of God to the heavenly realms. The darkness is scattering as you contemplate the Rhema, the things God has spoken to you. Vindication is my portion, you can say. If God has spoken that to you, you should say that. Whatever it is He spoke, be hard in the truth. Be hard in faith. Not going to compromise. Don't be surprised at the fiery darts that are flying towards you. Lift up your faith. It's a shield. Hallelujah. Faith in what? Faith in your faith? No. Some say with David when he took down Goliath, it wasn't how well he fought. It wasn't his skill in battle. He believed well. He knew God and he trusted God. He had faith in the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's all good and exciting, but I don't want you to take your faith out of God and put your faith into how well you believe. That's not going to be good enough. Because
yeah.
All All we have is the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. We're not earning anything. Are you hearing me? We're trusting God. Hebrews 12:2. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Ephesians 2:8. Faith is the gift of grace. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is the Lord gave me this years ago, and it's been so rich to me over the years. In the New Testament, the word worship comes from the original text, kiss. We came here together this morning and we sang, "I worship you, I worship you." Were you from the innermost place in your heart and mind adoring God? Because you're kissing Him. I'm showing an intimate affection towards you, Lord, by being here today. When I'm singing, when I'm trusting you, I'm giving you intimate trust, something personal. I'm sacrificing. I don't want to be here. I don't believe this. I don't like that. I'm sacrificing all that to adore you. Worship in the original text is kiss. And I was trying to say, we all know God seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Be intimately affectionate toward God from your innermost place and in truth. Through Jesus, that is. And here's where I was getting at. This faith I've described today is your offering to God. Mm-hmm. It can be. And I'm giving you a faith offering today, Lord. I'm choosing to believe you.
Hallelujah.
Look, this can be crushing when you're choosing to believe God in the face of maybe something in your physical body's hurting, and you're saying, "I choose to believe you." You're giving God a faith offering, something very intimate and personal. Our whole lives are to be a faith offering. We're called to walk by faith, not have faith on Sunday mornings for a minute, and then wonder if God loves you Sunday evening. We move by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by sometimes the only evidence we have is our faith that something's going to happen. Sometimes the only evidence you have that God loves you and is pleased with you is His Word. And that's okay. Be immovable. It'll produce good fruit. Be stirred up in it. Right? Listen, how many times have Susan and I as missionaries been in the center of hostility? When even the, quote, saints of God are hurling insults at us and hating us and calling other people in church, talking crap on us and stuff like this. And I go to the Lord and the Lord says, "Don't look at that. Don't worry about that. I am so pleased with you. They hated me. They'll hate you. They rejected me. I'm growing you, son." And all of those times, every single one of those times when it seemed like we were set in a hellish place and the Lord said, "I love you, I'm pleased with you, you've got no repenting to do except don't doubt. That's the only repentance I'm looking for. Don't doubt me." And good came out of it. Profit came out of it. Every single time. Hallelujah. Every single time. Faith produces tangible things. But sometimes the only tangible thing you have, the only evidence you have, is your faith. Do you have faith? Because you are truly impoverished, broken, jacked up, and going to hell if you don't have faith. The Bible says you're righteous by faith. If you don't have faith, what are you? Wicked. Wicked. Jesus said, you know, "Oh, how long do I have to put up with this perverse, unbelieving generation?" Susan and I signed a contract for a $650,000 house in faith. And when the contract date came and went without us giving somebody $650,000, we were tore up, man, for 2 days. We're like, "Oh, we don't know God. We haven't heard from God. We're so screwed up." When He finally broke into that hellish thing, He said, "What are you doubting for, you of such little faith?" He says, "I only have grace for you. No condemnation. Only favor. Only blessing." This is He's hardening our faith. Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you going to let your faith be hard? Are you going to let your faith collapse at the first sign of adversity? Let's look at... Oh, it's open to it. Romans chapter 4. Remember now, again, We walk by faith. We don't take a step by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. And without it, you're not going anywhere. Do you hear me? Without faith, you're not going anywhere. Look at our father Abraham in Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 16 and go all the way to verse 25. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the scripture says, be imitators of God. Call things that are not as though they were. So I can say right now, not by feelings, but by faith, we have silver and gold as common as the stones in the field. This is what God has told me. Listen, I'm telling you guys, this assembly is priceless. This assembly is priceless. You sit up here and hear the Word of God, you start getting stirred up. I hope you begin uttering things, man. Because what I just said was by faith, and it's bringing that power down. I don't know how long it takes. 2 seconds, 20 years, that's neither here nor there. I want to be an imitator of God who calls things that are not as though they were.
Amen.
We lack no good thing. We're rich in health. We're rich in silver and gold. We're rich in faith. We're rich in Jesus' righteousness. Hallelujah. We're rich in God's approval. My proof is that while we were still sinners, God sent Christ to pay the price for you and me. That's the proof. It's an everlasting expression of proof, and God recommends it to you. He commends His love to you. I recommend my love to you, says the Lord. Praise you, God. Moving on with the passage. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Remember the Kidron Valley? Even if it's a hellish thing, even if it's a mess thing, don't go believing the hell, don't go believing the mess. Believe God who's possessed it to work the message out of it. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Come on now. Everybody here believes God is all powerful. How do you tap into that? Through faith. How do you get faith? Go to Jesus.
Amen.
Go to the Word. Want to know the truth, the way and the life. He will speak to you and create faith in you. Now you're tapping into God's power. It's impossible to please God without faith. Believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In this case, just an example with Tom. He believes he's called to become a senator. Maybe diligently seeking the Lord is getting elected in 2018 or maybe it's 2024. You know, but you're diligently seeking. I'm hard in my purpose. And you continue in it until the Lord says, whoa! Unless you hear the Lord say, stop, you don't stop, you know. I'm living for you, Lord. I'm living for you to be glorified. If this thing happens, everybody will know. That was an act of God.
Amen.
And it'll be the Lord saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Living under open heavens. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm relaying the gospel. I'm by the grace of God, I'm faithfully discharging what was given to me. Do not collapse under pressure. Let your faith be hard. Stay hard in your lane. Determine, discern, ask God, help me, Lord. What am I here for? Maybe someone's an artist or, you know, in science. They're gifted. You know, stay hard in your lane by faith. And God will testify. He'll be there. He'll carry you through. This passage goes on. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Verse 22, this is why, quote, it was credited to him as righteousness, end quote. Righteousness is akin to faith. Faith is akin to righteousness. There's no way you can be righteous except by faith in the blood of Jesus. And then you're called to, you know, work that out. Verse 23, the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us. What's been credited to you? What have you believed God for? To whom God will credit righteousness. To us. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. That's right. Jesus lives. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justify had never sinned. The Bible says he was raised to life for our justification. And if you think about, God, what does justification mean? I'm telling you, it means justify had never sinned, past, present, or future. And as you start getting a hold of that, folks, it helps you. The Bible says when you realize your innocence, this gift God has given you, it helps you receive from God when you ask. If you're asking God for things and yourself is constantly condemning you, yourself will convince you why you can't have what you've asked of God. But when you realize God's not holding anything against me, He loves me, He's pleased with me, Christ paid the price for my guilt to be taken away and my sins to be paid for, you can boldly approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy for every failure and find grace for every need, not only yours, but that of others.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:15. I want to show you the grace of God. We just heard there was a guarantee, and you see that in Hebrews chapter 6 as well. But I'm only taking us to Hebrews 6:15. The Scripture says, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. One verse. So much grace. Right there, it doesn't say anything about Abraham being double-minded. About Abraham doubting God. Because we all know Abraham, you know, slept with another woman, someone besides his wife, created Ishmael. But in the New Testament, in the grace of God, it doesn't say Abraham wavered. Abraham doubted. Abraham fell. Abraham fell from faith and gave birth to an Ishmael that's troubled us all. No, the grace of God says Abraham waited patiently and he got what was promised to him. God's not counting your sins against you, even your unbelief. He's not counting it against you, holding it against you. Because Abraham was in unbelief. Except for the grace of God. Do you understand that? Are you hearing me? It's only by the grace of God that Abraham was credited with, I waited patiently. As opposed to, wait a minute, why don't we bring up every time you screwed up? Why don't we take a look at all the bad fruit that came out of your unbelief? Look, that could have been done, you know. Without the new covenant, that's where we'd be. Praise be to God for the Lamb of God that's taken away the wavering, the unbelief, the sins of the world. Father, we thank you believing. You're going to finish what you started in each one of us. We believe you asking, Lord, we receive that you show us great and mighty things that we know not. Today and the rest of this week, the rest of our lives, come, O King of glory, out of eternity again and make such a footprint with these next 10, these next 20, these next 30 years that all the world will look on and go, wow, God was there. Through our inadequacies, through our brokenness, through our inabilities, the ability, the power, the perfection of God is revealed. We are just perfect for His work. Are you hearing me? So Father, we praise you for that. We thank you for that, Lord, that others might look at us and say, hey, there's the Kidron Valley, a smoldering, smelly stink pile. But God says, no, no, no. Do not call unclean what I've called clean. I possess that thing and my message is being produced through it. Are you hearing me? Join me, folks, in praising God for the message of Jesus Christ.